Hello there. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome.
Wonderful. That's nice. That's nice for you. Would you
Hello.
Like to... There it is. There he is.
There we go.
And we had a fun little day today. If you are listening today, which is Saturday, the 18th of November, it is McHappy Day.
It is, where $2 from every Big Mac sold goes to the Ronald McDonald House of Charities. So they do such fabulous work for the families. They make a home away from home for the families of sick kids or injured, really injured kids.
That's and it.
Kids who have to spend a lot of time in the hospital.
That's right. So they do a wonderful job.
Get into
it. Fantastic. Fantastic. And not just McHappy Day, it's McHattie Day.
It is as well. That's good. I don't know why I didn't use that. Or why you didn't use that until now.
I only thought of it just then.
No, we explain why in the podcast. That's coming up. What about Peter Boyewitz? Oh, my goodness. This guy's a legend. Lives in Harrington Park. Mowing today. Mowing for 24 hours.
Mowing.
He's got to get out there in the thongs and the wife beater, hasn't he? That's how you mow the lawn. You don't get into, you know, any good gear for the lawn.
No.
Looking to raise $100,000 for charity and break a world record in that attempt. So best of luck to him. You'll hear from him. Brad Haddon on Australia's chances in the ODI World Cup. He joined us.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm not nervous. I'm excited.
Really?
Yep.
How's Dave feeling?
Well, I think he's feeling, well, he's pretty tired. The old body's just hanging in there, but I think they're pretty pumped.
I read. I didn't read that.
What did you read?
I read Dave's ready to go.
Oh,
he could go
ready.
Again.
He is ready to go, but it's been a long campaign. This is, I think, their 20th game
row. At that level, it's all mental, and he's a tough rooster.
It is, and when you see the way they fielded the other night against South Africa in the semi-final, it was a real attitude thing, and they came out, and they're fielding. Like, some of the boundaries that they stopped – whether it be David, Marnus, and a few of the other players.
Probably won on the match.
I reckon.
I know the bowlers, they did a wonderful job just, you know, chipping away. They had a good lead, but they had to keep it going. They couldn't afford to lose another wicket.
Well, we still haven't seen a complete team performance. So hopefully the whole team can have that game.
Well, here's the thing. If you're going to win a match like this, I don't think it can be a complete batting performance because the openers have got to set a big score for the first wicket.
Yeah.
And then if the next guy comes in and has a big score, then basically the whole innings is over.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to see.
I thought it was great composure in the semi as well, because those rain delays are tough, especially when you're on top, you're 4 for 44, you're thinking, we got this in the bag.
Yeah, that's right. And then David Miller, they just could not get him out. I think he got 100 odd, I'm not sure, but he was dangerous. But to get Bavuma out early, De Kock, and then a few of the others, it was good to see.
But then again, Mitch Marsh, no score.
But that was an absolute screamer, the catch that got him out.
What about Maxwell?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. We'll be right.
What about him? He was your favourite guy a couple of weeks ago.
No, but they're brittle. You know, that can be brilliant and then terrible. And then brilliant and then terrible.
That's
you know?
The nature of cricket, though.
Well, I've got racehorses like that. They're very frustrating.
I know. I keep backing them.
Well, if that's the pattern, when they're off, they'll be brilliant tomorrow night.
I hadn't thought of that.
No.
I hadn't thought of that.
A couple of things we didn't get to. Ronnie Palmer, did you hear about him?
Oh, legend.
First time in 50 years, the renowned strength and conditioning coach won't feature in an NRL club's preseason. Shown the door by the West Tigers.
He's getting a bit old, though.
Yeah. But he knows what he's doing.
He'd be in his 70s. Yeah, but do you think maybe his practices are a bit out of date?
Well, Wes seemed to think so.
Do you know the thing that about Ronnie Palmer?
His ages.
He always had the shorter shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had the little shorts when he was at the Roosters and the New South Wales Origin squad. He always had the little shorts.
Yeah.
Don't bend over, Ronnie.
Good advice.
Take that into your day, Ron. He could be mid-bend now. He's like, oh, no.
Better get back up.
I don't know if you heard this either. English Premier League side Everton. So if you're a fan of the Toffees, no good. They've been deducted 10 points after breaching the league's profitability and sustainability rules. They now sit 19th with 4 points.
Jeez, that's a harsh penalty.
It is, considering that Man City is still facing punitive measures following an alleged 115 breaches over 9 years.
I think Chelsea might be in a bit of bother as well. They might lose a point or two for something as well.
But that's wild. You breach it once, you lose 10 points.
You breach it
150 times and still no penalty.
My God.
You know what would be good if Man City breached it? Because then, because I'm a big Tottenham fan now because of Ange. Man City, I think, are at the top of the ladder and then Tottenham are second.
See, Man City, if they get penalised at the same rate, they get relegated to second division next
year. Non-league football.
Yeah.
They're down to fifth division.
They should be winning there.
If they get charged with all those. But rightly so. That is put in place to sort of make sure they're not spending above their means. And they were. They were $124 million in the hole. So
basically, it's like reaching the salary cap, isn't it?
Pretty much.
By some.
Essentially, yes. Yeah. Simply put. You got anything for me?
What did you want?
No, nothing. I'm just asking.
About what?
Something he doesn't have for you, a What's smile.
That? He's been in a beautiful mood today, I've thought.
Right? Yeah, you have.
What did you want from me?
No, I'm just saying, do you want anything? Because you've got a platform, you can say things that you want to say.
Oh, you want me to launch on my platform?
If you like.
Yes, well, I have a platform at the moment. I am very anti what they're doing down the Kosciuszko National Park.
But that's in the podcast. I've already hooked it. You've already, right. Yeah. I'm just asking, is there anything else?
Well, no, how many agendas do you think I can bring?
I'm just asking. Sorry.
You sit here and just look at me and say, you got anything else you need to say?
Well, no, okay. Not need to say, want to say.
Goodbye.
There's the Richard we know and love. Enjoy the podcast.
I have fun.
Thanks for not yelling at me, Candace.
That's all right.
Bye-bye.
Australia are taking on tournament favourites India in the ODI World Cup final this Sunday in Ahmedabad to preview our chances in it, to dissect the thrilling win over South Africa that landed us there, joined by former Aussie gloveman, Triple M Cricket's Brad Haddin, who you can catch on the coverage tomorrow on Fox. He's doing a great job. Morning, Brad.
How are we all?
Very well, thank you.
We're good, Hads.
Now, our run to the final has been excellent. We've got a picket fence of wins in our form, but our middle order... it's still a little brittle. Is that fair?
Yeah, you're spot on, Richard. I think we've been building beautifully to this stage to get to the final. We've seen some outstanding batting up the top. We've seen some aggressive hitting at the back end of the game. But we need to fix that overs from 15 to 40. And that's going to be a big part in this final because India have got two outstanding spinners in those overs. They control the tempo of the game. So, yeah, we need to find a way to combat that part of the game. And that'll go a long way to deciding the result.
Mohammad Shami took 7 wickets against New Zealand. How much of a part will he play tomorrow night? And how is Australia going to stop him?
Yeah, it's interesting. Mohammad Shami wasn't even in the best team for India at the start of the tournament. But since he's come in, they've found a new life. He's a wicket taker in the middle overs. But he's also outstanding with the new ball. He presents the seam probably better than anyone in the world. He gets a bit of sideways movement off the surface, so it'll be tough going early for the openers, but I'm imagining it'll be a pretty flat wicket. So we've just got to look to get through his first few overs, and then I think we can work into the game with him.
The pitch. Now, there's been some controversy here because they've been blowing up that they've been using old pitches, you know, secondhand pitches, and they're going to do it again in the final. And yet, the last match that India played, the Mohammad Shami took the wicket. So, is the pitch a factor?
Oh, well, Richard, I think we'll have to wait till tomorrow. They'll probably prepare 3 wickets and then India decide what surface they want to play on. So that's the reality of it. But I think what India will like, that they will want a good surface, a bit drier to take the Australian quicks out of the game. But, mate, your guess is as good as mine. I think we'll all have to wait till India decide, then we'll prepare accordingly. But, yeah, some funny things happen at this time of tournaments in India.
Sunny Gavaskar, he told everybody to shut up. That anyone talking about the pitch being doctored is a moron.
Yeah, it's not. They don't doctor their wickets. They've just got a couple of surfaces to pick from. So yeah. I think this surface will be a good surface. It'll be a good contest. And you need to. You're going to have 130,000 people at the stadium. It'll be jam-packed. The atmosphere will be unbelievable. And there'll be billions of people watching it. So with your marquee event, your final, you want a good surface so we get good even contests.
Is there any conceivable way we win this, Hads? I mean, you just mentioned we need
100%.
You just mentioned we need to fix up overs 15 to 40. That's 25 overs. That's many. That's a few. That's a few overs to get right in you know, one game.
Yeah, it is. But we've seen some really good signs in the semi against South Africa. The attitude they had in the field was outstanding. They're peaking at the right time. Even the old boys started to move around a bit in the covers. Steve Smith, Davey and Marnus, all those guys sort of put their presence on the game. And I think that's how we win it. We put our presence on the game. We're aggressive with the new ball, look for wickets. But if we come out with that same intent, I think that can rattle India.
How do you think this tournament's been for, you know, the advertisement, I guess, for the one-day format? Do you reckon it'll survive post-World Cup?
Yeah, I think it will. I don't know how we'll see as many bilateral series, but we'll still see all these big events. I think the World Cup's been outstanding. We've seen some unbelievable batting. There's some fast bowlers who we didn't think would play a part of. Have been some great performances as well. But I think it'll survive in big events. I'm not too sure about bilateral series. We'll play as many of those, but we'll still have big events like this.
Brad, the 50-over format compared to the 20-20-over format, I love it more because I think times out of 10, the better side wins, where that's not always the case in 2020, where luck can play a huge role.
It's such a, I know it's a one day, but it literally goes all day.
Yeah, but I love it. I love test cricket, so it doesn't matter how long it goes for me. But what do you think, Brad?
Well, you know what, Richard, I agree with you because I think what it does bring is a bit of safer batting, for example, in those middle overs. It brings a bit of batsmanship. What you see in 2020 is teams can get away with just playing the power game and take the game on the whole time through those middle periods of the game. But what we're seeing in the middle overs, you need a bit of batsmanship. You need some crafty tactics to get to the other end, maybe take your medicine with a maiden or two and build into the contest. So, yeah, I'm with you, Richard. I like that the tradition of the game where you need the batsmanship, you need to think about the game.
A couple of test elements thrown in there. That's not too bad. Hey, well done to you on the Fox coverage. Something I really liked from you the other night during the rain delay, he took a sip of water. Now, there's always waters on the desk, but you never see people drink it. But Brad Haddon, he was like, nah, I'm parched. I'm having some water. And I respected that. You hydrated yourself. Well done, Brad.
Yeah, that's because I was tucking into the hot chips out the back room. We had to quickly run and get on air. So I was a bit parched.
You've done a wonderful job. I think it's been a fantastic tournament. It's a long tournament, but I've loved every minute of it.
Yeah, I think I'm the same. I reckon it's been a great contest. But what I like most, I think we've got the two best teams in the final. India have been flawless through the whole campaign. Had they got a little twist in a final, can they panic? But Australia built into the tournament nicely. They're one of the form teams now. But we've got the two marquee teams playing out the final.
All right, good on you, Brad Haddon. Okay. Catch you tomorrow.
South Africa lost. How good?
Yeah. How good's that? Yeah, Fox coverage. Semi.
England went home early. Doesn't
get much better. Yeah, one of the greats. Well, wonderful day for you too. You're umpiring all day for your kids, so well done. He can be bribed for the right price. Brad Haddon.
Doctor the pitch for them too.
Absolutely. How much water do you want?
I tell you what, I won't get bribed today. Last week you would have got me when there's some good races on.
Races in Newcastle, no thanks.
We have to talk about that at another time.
Yes, man. Indeed. Good on you, my man. Have a great day.
All right, mate. Take care.
If it happened overnight, you'll hear it in the Triple M Dead Set Legends Sports Update.
Former Bulldogs club captain Raymond Fatala-Mariner has reportedly returned to training following crisis talks with Bulldogs boss Phil Gould last week. Apparently, the Bulldogs could have been up for some sanctions if he wasn't allowed to train there because it's in his contract. He has to train, has to be part of the club while he's there.
Absolutely. And we were talking about it last week and we thought it just didn't make sense to us. But
going on there. You never get the full story.
Look, they have recruited a lot of players, 9, and they needed to get rid of some, but he's under contract for 2 years. I think he's under $400,000, so it's so good to see him back at training.
What I didn't understand, these crisis talks were leaked. Photos of these crisis talks were leaked. They were having
The secret crisis talks.
The secret crisis talks in the very public Canterbury Leagues Club, I really like Phil Gould. I really do.
And didn't he post from Instagram or Twitter a photo of himself at the Chinese restaurant?
Well, yes. Well, Phil Gould came out and said, I never care about these things, but, you know, we've got the person responsible. He's been identified. You know, I've got an image of him. We've got his name. It sounds like you do care about it. Also, you're the boss of the Bulldogs. I'm sure you've got an office.
Yeah.
Conduct these meetings in the office.
Behind
if you don't want them
closed
leaked.
Doors.
Behind closed doors, right?
Exactly.
This is a concept.
Sydney Roosters chairman Nick Politis has revealed Joseph Suaalii is planning to return to the NRL in 2028. He hasn't even left.
No.
He's got another year to go at the Roosters. And he's off to rugby, earning a stack of cash over there. And apparently he'll be back in 2028.
How would rugby feel about that? You know, they've recruited him. He's going to be there for the World Cup and then... Well, for that next World Cup and then see you later.
Well, I think they know what this is. It's a cash grab. It's 100% a cash grab.
Yeah.
And they'll take it.
Most things are about cash.
Absolutely. And he's 20 years old.
Yeah.
20 years old. He's 23 or 24 by the time he comes back.
Will he be the same player, though, when he gets back? Because we have seen players who have gone to rugby union and then try to come back to the NRL and haven't really been that successful. Yeah. We saw that with Carmichael Hunt. I think he went to rugby.
Oh, there's Ryan Cross went. There's been so many of them have gone that you never really sort of.
But when they come back to league.
Yeah, but usually
they're not the same player.
Yeah, but they're in the twilight of their career. Yeah, they come back then. But he's coming back at 24. He hasn't even reached his peak yet. So I reckon it's fine.
Okay.
Go make your money. Come back. Game's always going to be here.
I always rugby. Laugh when I hear the press conference and some player's gone somewhere for huge money and they say, oh, it's not about the money. And I feel like putting up my hand and say, well, do it for less. And they won't.
No, they won't. Here we go. This will get tongues wagging. The top 10 sexiest sportsmen on the planet have been named.
No, let's just clarify this. This list was put together by the Women of England. Is that correct?
Well, it came from an English publication.
And it is absolute rubbish.
It's wrong.
In my opinion. I could count 50 more attractive.
Let me just read out some of these that are on it. Mm. Tyson Fury, number one. He's got a head like a beaten favourite.
Yes.
Literally beaten.
I quite like him as a person. I find him really funny and a great boxer, but I wouldn't call him sexy.
Does sexy encompass what's on the inside?
I don't think this is.
They've got Cristiano Ronaldo on that. You'd like him, wouldn't you?
No, I don't. I think he's too pretty for me.
Right.
Yep. I don't mind Conor McGregor at number 10.
Nah. Well, Rory McIlroy, how does he get on?
Yeah, it's no good.
Look, there's so many other. What about you're thinking? I'm thinking more sort of.
Who do you think?
Look, I think Kelly Slater. I think he's a very attractive man. Who else is there? Surely Tom Brady would be on that list.
He's a good looking fella, isn't he? For his age as well. That's
what
got
about
to
old David Beckham? He's still a good looking
guy. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not a current athlete. I think this is a current athlete.
Right. Okay.
What, Neymar? Neymar Jr.?
That's ageism.
I tell you what, Scott Sorensen from the Penrith Panthers came in here the other day. Goodness me. I had to get a photo with him.
Oh,
I had to get a photo with him.
Oh, my God.
Just so I could be next to that.
Oh,
unbelievable.
Stop it. Okay,
I think
so,
you should stop right there. I really do.
All right.
He knows.
If we change this, would this be of all time?
I think so.
Is this our phoner?
Let's do it. 133-53.
What's the
question?
The question
is,
sexiest sportsman?
Yes.
And we're only taking male callers.
That's good, though. See, you're allowed to have your wife or partner or whatever in your ear with the sexiest sportsman of all time. Is that what we're looking for?
Well, of all time, you'd have to go Beckham.
You'd think.
He's pretty hot. He's pretty hot.
Can anyone beat Beckham? That's what we're looking for on 133353.
A Beckham beater.
We're looking for a Beckham beater on 133353. A caller of the day with $100 to spend at Red
bucks.
Rooster. Yes,
that gets you a lot of rooster.
Do you have to use it all in one go, or can you sort of go once and then go back next week?
You can do multiple transactions.
Yeah,
I think it's like a gift card sort of thing. Yeah. 133353.
Otherwise, you're in big
looking
trouble.
For the sexiest sportsman of all time. Sexiest sportsman of all time. With what caveat, Richard Friedman?
Male callers only.
133353 is that number. It follows this list compiled by, I believe it was UK women.
Oh, it's a rubbish list.
It's a mess. Number one, Tyson Fury, the boxer.
You know what? I think Andrew Ettinghausen back in the day
could be
up there with
E.T. He did cut a swathe.
Oh, I just had
no
a moment.
Cameras in those days.
I just had a moment. Paul in Padstow Heights, who is the sexiest sportsman of all time?
Good morning, legends. How are we all?
Wonderful,
Paul. Good.
I'm not that way inclined, but my wife reckons Matt Cooper from the Dragons.
Oh, yes, rugged.
Yes, indeed.
Rugged, good looks. Would you agree with that, Candace? You're the judge here.
Yeah, he was pretty. He had pretty eyes.
That's what I was about to say. Eyes. It's all in the eyes, yeah. Paul. Would you get lost in those eyes, Paul?
Not me personally.
Well, I would. Come on, you never know. You never know until that opportunity.
You can out yourself here.
Presents itself. Peter is in Miranda. Who is your sexiest sportsman of all time?
Morning, all. Not mine, but James Hunt, the Formula One driver.
Oh, man. There was a man, when it came to women, never touched the brakes.
So this is before my time, I believe.
Oh, James Hunt was blonde, English,
yep.
Charming, good-looking Formula One driver, racing car driver.
I'm just going to Google him now.
He had it all.
He's painted a vivid picture for me. I don't even need to see an image.
No, I don't. He had a bit of a bulb nose.
A bulbous nose. Yeah. Would you describe his nose as bulbous? Yes, I would. I've just seen a picture.
That picture's probably him when he was 40 or something.
No, that's not how you...
Anyway, that's Pete, not I what thought you it described. Was a good one.
Yeah, thanks, Pete. Barry in Five Doc, who's your sexiest sportsman?
It's got to be Roger Federer.
Oh, yes.
He's just aged well.
Every mother wants Roger Federer as a daughter.
Yeah.
But he's so composed, he's so personality plus and so humble.
Because sexiness...
He never puts a player down.
Sexiness is more than just looks,
isn't it? Do you have
looks,
a picture of him on your wall there, Barry?
Big bud?
Do you have a picture of him on your wall?
No.
No?
Do you know what? Okay. I have seen him in a suit at like a Met Gala or something, and he scrubs up really well.
He's immaculate.
He's got good hair.
He has. He's her suit.
Noah in Tarmor, finish this off for us. Who's the sexiest sportsman of all time?
Hey, guys. How are we?
Good.
Wonderful.
My sexiest sportsman is probably Lewis Hamilton.
Ah.
Well, he did make the list. He was fourth on this list.
No. Looks like a mango that's been hit with a tennis racket.
Oh, goodness me.
I'm taking Lewis Hamilton over Tyson Fury every day of the week.
Oh. Absolutely. If you had to choose, if it's one of those, if it's a choice.
Do you reckon Tyson Fury's had something to do with this list?
Well, he's put the votes in himself.
I reckon he has.
And, and who's going to argue with him?
That's very true. Very true. Look, I like Lewis Hamilton. I think Barry's under the, it's the package. Barry's under the right thing there. Yeah,
Roger Federer.
Roger Federer?
Is that the winner? Oh, I still like James Hunt.
No.
After seeing that picture, I think I'll have to give it to Barry.
Yeah, give it to Barry.
There's a bit of everything in the Red Rooster Mega Box. The Rooster's calling you to try a Mega Box at Red Rooster today. $100 to spend there. Barry, you might split it 50-50 with Roger Federer. You can take him to Red Rooster.
Yeah. Oh, he'd love that. You there, Barry?
No, he's watching the planes.
He's sitting at the end of the runway in his car.
The Dead Set Legends.
It's our audience.
On Sydney's Triple Lamb. He's just tuned out completely. I've had my say and I've had enough. What's this little tidbit you gave me off air just before, during the song?
Rusty.
Yeah.
Rusty.
Rusty.
Rusty. He was the horse on Seinfeld. Rusty was the horse who got fed beef burrito and ended up with horrendous flatulence.
Okay. On that note.
Rusty's Motorsport Update. For Bendix. Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
Sorry, Rusty. What a horrific way to be brought in.
Do you know, that is one of my favourite episodes. I love that show. And don't my friends remind me about Rusty the horse very often.
Rusty! Rusty!
Rusty, Vegas GP looking next level. But it was a bit of a cluster on the first night.
So much hype about this event. What they did with the driver introductions was Hollywood spec. But far out, what a challenge organisers have been faced with overnight there.
Absolutely. And are they going to have a second practice round, or is it all called off, or what's going on?
They managed to get running last night, but it was crazy. Okay, so just to, perhaps if listeners have woken up today and not heard the story this morning, in short, first practice session, we were barely a couple of minutes into it. Carlos Sainz has crossed a part of the track where there was a... it's not as big as a manhole cover, but it's like that, right? And the aerodynamics of the car have sucked it clean out of the ground, and it damaged very badly the underside of his Ferrari. It did something similar to another driver in Esteban Ocon. So we lost all of free practice one. Free practice two, the start of it was delayed. They eventually got some running in with hurried repairs around the track, but... I mean, for all the glitz and glamour and all the excitement that we've had, I mean, the acts that they had for the driver introductions on Thursday night our time were off the charts, Keith Urban and more. But to think that we could have, hundreds of millions of dollars spent on this and yet a fundamental like that be totally overlooked, it's not a good look. But they got them running.
Raises a serious question. Is this track up to the task? And how does an organisation with obviously... months or maybe years of notice, create a track that could injure drivers and not just cars, but drivers as well.
So they have done repairs overnight to take those covers away, Richard, and basically fill in the holes to prevent a repeat of this happening. To your point, it should never have happened in the first place, right? So
don't they inspect every track? Don't they have people say you can't do this?
Okay, let me. I'm going to give you a little something today. In my opinion, if Michael Massey was still there and he was trained by one of the all-time legends of safety and running of the sport in Charlie Whiting, who sadly is no longer with us, if Michael was there, it is my belief that this would have been picked up months ago and we would not have had this problem. That should have been... However it's got to this point, I don't know, but it should not... A world-class event like that, it shouldn't happen. Now, Toto Wolff, the boss of the Mercedes team, has hit the rev limit about the fact that we shouldn't be focused on the negative too much. Stuff like this has happened before, and he is right. There have been brand-new circuits before where things have gone wrong when they are properly subjected to the pressures of Formula One. But you would think, with all the knowledge and all the people they have in that game there, that we would have been on top of it before that happened. It's not a good look. And probably the worst part, they ushered the fans out. You know, Candace was asking about practice too there before. They ushered the fans out because it was staged so late in the morning. It was like 2 in the morning, and they had to get it done by 4 in the morning so they could open some of the roads that are around the Vegas track precinct there. Crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
No good. All right, Rusty, always a pleasure to catch up. You can check out the Rusty's Garage podcast on the listener app there. You caught up with Brock Feeney on that. Is he going to let Shane Van Gisbergen maybe, or is he going to block for Shane Van Gisbergen, or is he going to go for a win in Adelaide?
He's an ultimate team player. What I think he will do is help the team with the championship so that Shane finishes on a high. But let me tell you, the thought of him winning again on the streets of Adelaide like he did last year as a 20-year-old, that is a big, big motivator for him.
All right, you can catch that chat on the podcast. It's all thanks to Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence. Good on you, Rusty. We'll catch you next week, mate.
Rusty the horse. I'll go back to, what am I eating, Richard? What
Beefarino. Beefarino. Stay off the Beefarino, Rusty.
Enjoy that.
Okay. Smell you from here.
See ya.
Let's have a look at this 2024 NRL draw, shall we?
Yes.
No sooner has the 2023 season finished, and we are already getting stuck into 2024.
And there's controversy.
I believe so. Listen.
As usual.
Listen. Let's go through a few things that I spotted in the draw. The Sharks.
Oh, my goodness.
They've got a soft draw.
Yes, they do. So they play 8 games with teams that finished, well, from the bottom 4 from last year. So they've got it pretty easy. I know the Bulldogs and the Seagulls, they have no 5-day turnaround, so that's going to really help them. Broncos, they've got it pretty good as well. I think they play most of their games at Suncorp and probably Friday night games, so they've got that really...
Not much travel for the Broncos.
No. Panthers have got it tough.
The first month is very tough. They've got the Storm, Eels, Broncos, Roosters in the first month. So, I mean, that's rough. But you know, probably rightly so.
You know what I think about all this?
What's that?
I'm going to tell you. This is like the barrier draw for the Melbourne Cup. It doesn't matter till after the gates open.
Well, why? Right?
If you don't win matches, it won't matter how many you play at home.
Why? Wouldn't you give me the tips for the Melbourne Cup before the barriers were drawn then, I ask?
Because I hadn't done the form.
St. George.
But then when I had done it, I got you.
Shiraz, yes.
Shiraz.
St. George, Illawarra, they'll miss out on Magic Round. But I will say that Women's Origin is now 3 games, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
And the first game is going to kick off on the Thursday night of Magic Round. So I think that is going to be...
Do we know where that's happening?
Spectacular. It's always up in Brisbane.
Right.
I thought it was funny the Dragons missing out on Magic Round because they really don't want Ben Hunt playing in Queensland, do they? They're like, not even for the Dragons, you're not playing
not
in Queensland.
There.
Absolutely not.
And it makes me think, so West Tigers, they have bye round one, and I think the Warriors have the final bye. What would you prefer, the bye round one or at the end?
At the end. Absolutely.
That's a no-brainer. That's when you've got a heap of injured players you're trying to nurse through.
But it also, if it's at the start, it also gives you time to do extra preseason.
Yuck. That's the worst part.
All right.
Players hate that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
No one's voting for that.
All right.
I'd like to scrap that question from the show. Anzac round looks a bit different as well. 3 games being played on Anzac Day. The Warriors get their own Anzac match, which I think is... great. So they're taking on the Titans.
That's right.
I don't know about the quality of that match. Dragons, Roosters at Allianz Stadium and Storm Rabbitohs. That'll be a belter.
Yeah,
down
3
in Melbourne.
Games. How good's that?
Absolutely. That's a little look at the 2024 NRL draw. A local one at that, Peter Bojovic, also known as Mr. Mow-It-All, on his way to raise $100,000 for Movember. Incredible cause. With all the details, he joins us on the line. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Peter. I'm looking at a picture of you, and that is some dirty mow you've got in this picture.
Mm.
It's getting nice and thick and luscious, that's for sure.
Oh, you're right.
It's a dual meaning, isn't it, Mr. Mow-It-All? Explain what you're doing tonight to raise the funds for Movember.
So tonight in Harrington Park at Fairfax Reserve,
yes.
I will be endeavouring to beat the Guinness World Record for the furthest distance a lawnmower has been pushed in 24 hours.
And what is the condition of the track that you've got to push this mower around? Is it a turf track or do you push it around on concrete? I mean,
does a mower have to be on?
Yeah. Funny question. So some of the rules stipulate that it must be on grass.
Yes.
Oh. And the mower must be running for the entire period of the 24 hours.
Wow.
And cutting grass for the same length. So I'll be doing it around an AFL field, just cutting laps.
How can it run for 24? You can't have a lawnmower run for 24 hours without turning it off and refueling, surely.
Fortunately, I'm using a battery-powered lawnmower.
Of course, and saving the environment. Yeah. Come on, Brendan, what are you doing?
Yeah. Is that a separate category to the motor mower record?
No, it's actually the same. So it's powered electric or petrol, same category.
Right.
Fortunately, the electric is just a little bit lighter, so it's a little bit of a strategy.
And do you have like a bit of a pit crew or... does someone change the battery for you? How are you going to keep hydrated along the way? Are you going to have a camel pack on? Have you got gels? How's this?
And are you wearing the shorts and the wife beater?
Because it's really important that you keep your energy levels up.
Monstrous amount of preparations gone into this. There will be a pit stop, but another rule is that only I can touch the lawnmower. So there'll be charged batteries ready to swap out every 60 minutes and some stations set up for drinks and nutrition. I've got a great team behind me, and then when I do take breaks, I'll check in, and that's when I'll have my feeds and stuff.
And so how many Ks an hour will you be covering?
I'm aiming, the initial strategy is to cover 6 kilometres an hour, and depending on how I feel when I get into
that's
it.
That's doable.
And start to get my stride. Yeah. Yeah, it's not too bad. Once I settle in, I'll pick it up after a couple of hours and aim for 6.5.
And have you done a mock run? Do you reckon you've got this in the bag?
Very confident. Very confident. I haven't done the 124, obviously, but yeah, very confident.
Some of the training he's done. You've been going around like the harbour, the harbour forecourt with a mower.
My partner jokingly says that she's in a relationship with me in a lawnmower now. It's come everywhere with me of late.
It's a weird threesome.
we've taken it everywhere. I ran the City to Surf earlier this year as well with a lawnmower.
So what's been the motivation behind this?
The motivation for me, so I've been involved in various charities over the years and Movember for a few years now. I really have come to understand how important men's health is and that the stigma behind it hasn't quite turned the corner that I think it needs to.
Mm.
Some of the conversations and the connections that I've had throughout the fundraising has really put emphasis on the importance of it for me personally. And this year I decided I'd put myself in an uncomfortable space, squeeze a little bit more out of the lemon and challenge myself to go that little bit more and spread a little bit more awareness, hopefully raise a little bit more money and, have some deeper and broader conversations.
Why the lawnmower? There must have been so many other records you could pick.
I actually followed the previous record holder's journey last year, and upon reflecting on the month of November last year, I was at the pub having a beer with a mate and sharing the story and showing, look at this guy, and he's laid the challenge out to me. You should give that a go, and so I took it upon myself. 2023, here we are.
I bet too your wife would be filthy because anytime she's asked you to mow the lawn, it's like, no, I can't, I'm busy. It's like, oh, no, now you're going to walk 150 k's of the lawnmower.
Have you got a lawnmower sponsor?
Yes, so Victor jumped on board early on and they've been amazing. I've got a few lawnmowers. I've got a backup just in case. Another mock mower so that anyone wants to join in and cut a lap with me can push a mower as well.
Oh, unreal.
Do you actually have to cut?
Yes. So we'll be cutting. I guess once you go over it once or twice, it gets easier.
it does.
We'll be cutting.
Well, I'm very familiar with this reserve. It's near my house, Fairfax Reserve in Harrington Park. No, I will. I've played a few shocking innings of cricket at that park, I tell you that much.
So if you see a guy wearing a weird bull riding hat
that's
down
me.
The park, that's him.
Yeah, that's the Stetson.
Yeah, I'll keep a look at it.
We're going for 100K, very doable. How do we donate, my friend?
So if you'd like to donate, jump on the Instagram or Facebook page, Mr. Mow-It-All, with it's Mr. M-O-It-All.
Mm-hmm.
And it will take you through directly to my MoSpace, and all of the funds go directly through to the Movember Foundation.
Unreal. You're a proper hero, brother. All the best with breaking that record. Do you sleep at all? Like, what? You just go 24 hours straight?
24 hours straight.
Wow.
No stops. I'll try to work in four-hour blocks with a 10-minute break every 4 hours.
Huge. Plenty of caffeine needed.
Absolutely. Best of luck to you, Peter Boyovich, an absolute legend doing it all for Movember.com. Best of luck.
Thank you so much, guys.
If it happened overnight, you'll hear it in the Triple M Dead Set Legends Sports Update.
Bit of a career change for former Wallabies captain Michael Hooper. He signalled the end of his career in the 15-man game. He's jumping ships to Rugby Sevens this week, but he's doing so at the age of 32. Rest in peace, hamstrings. My goodness.
Yeah, well, he just is looking forward to what he said is it's massively exciting year with the Olympics on the horizon.
Mm.
Why not?
Well, that's the goal, isn't it? The aim.
He's done as much as he can in the sport. We know that Eddie Jones overlooked him for the World Cup. He's won the John Eales medal for the best player in Rugby Australia for however many times. So why not?
I hope he's still got the motor, because that takes some motor, that sport.
Well, he did mention that there is a lot of running, the most he's ever seen.
Exactly. Yeah. It is a sport. They just run from one end to the other and they can't stop.
Yeah.
His motor better not be blowing blue smoke. That's all I can say.
125 caps for the Wallabies. Absolutely incredible. But I think he could do it.
Well, it's a fun challenge. And I mean, he will have to change his body shape somewhat to perform at that level. So
I think if he must be okay at it. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it.
Yeah, well,
that's most things.
We'll see.
That's
most things. Like me and Bocce.
Look, he's a great player, so let's just hope he's got the
But when he's performed at a certain level, he's not going to embarrass himself if he didn't think he had a shot.
100%. Now, it is inaugural Wear a Cowboy Hat to Work Day. You wouldn't have heard about it because it was imposed by Richard Friedman.
And it's exclusive to us.
Very exclusive. And we are looking good, but for a very important cause.
Well, it's a cause dear to my heart that I have great empathy and sympathy for the Brumbies in the Kosciuszko National Park, which the government at this stage are intending and I believe have already started to cull from a helicopter, which is, any horseman will tell you, is the cruelest, most barbaric way to kill horses.
So you're not disagreeing that we do need to cull them?
Well, we do need to reduce their numbers. According to them, a lot of people that live down there say there's not nearly the numbers that they say there are, that this is being done to ramp up their agenda to get rid of them.
So there's about 20,000 and they want to get it down to about 3,000 by 2027.
There's people who live down there say there's no more than about 3,000 total.
Sure.
Right? But, you know, it doesn't matter. I think we can all agree on this. Even if you do have to control them, and I think horsemen will accept that if you do have to control them so that they don't damage the national park. They've been there for 200 years. I guess they would have done it by now. But anyway, now we have to shoot them from the air. It is, if you have ever seen the carcasses of broodmares who have been shot in the belly, because there's only a very small area where you can shoot a horse from a helicopter. It's about the size of your hand, your open palm, and it's behind their ear. And if you miss that, you break the horse's jaw or you hit it in the neck, they'll take weeks to die.
Sounds horrific.
It's horrendous and it's cruel and it should be stopped. And I'm going to try and do everything I can to get the aerial culling stopped, because they say there's no other viable way of doing this. There are other ways. Yes, they're more expensive. Yes, they'll take longer.
But they're more humane.
But I don't know anyone who could say it's okay to see a foal starving to death next to its dead mother.
Is there anything we can do on a ground level to
support? All we've got to do is be aware of this, this is happening. Penny Sharp is the minister. Perhaps you could write to her and say, just stop this. This is bad. That's my opinion. It's not the opinion held by a lot of people who'll say, oh, they're destroying the environment. Okay, even if they are, right, let's do it
There's
the right
way.
There's
a better
way to do it.
Okay.
Let's do it the right way.
Right. Thanks for that, Richard.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now you're going to hear about it.
Richard's list of grievances.
I'm going out on a limb here. It's a dangerous one, this one.
Oh, good. I'm glad we didn't talk about it.
I have a problem with the company Christmas party.
Okay. We're just about to have ours Friday.
Oh, I didn't get an invite.
You did. It's in your...
I don't have a work email.
Well, it's
That's not
there.
The point.
I'm sorry.
The point
What's
is...
What's your point?
The obligation.
The company feels like they have to do it. The employees feel like they have to go. These are not people that you chose as friends. They're people you see every day at work. You spend a lot of time with them. There's probably nothing you don't know about them. Why then would you need to have a Christmas party with them?
I would like to have a Christmas drink with you and Brendo and Beck and everyone. And we could call it a Christmas party,
if you will.
So what's the problem? I don't agree
with
you.
Just don't think it achieves anything.
It's because you're a Grinch.
No, it's not because I'm a Grinch. I think if people are honest, they think, yeah, it's free drinks, you know, and they like the free drinks. But, you know.
Can I say this? Usually I'm not a Christmas party guy, but this year I reckon the company's got it exactly right. First of all, it's on a Friday rather than midweek.
I wouldn't know. I didn't get the invite, but anyway.
See, now, here we go. Here are the details.
Now you don't even want it midweek. You see, but once you start qualifying it, I think it.
And
who qualifies to go?
And it starts, well, if you're an employee, you can go.
Oh, well, but they don't say
we were told to tell you, Candace. We were told to tell you. You can come along if you want.
I'm busy now.
Sounds like it. And it starts at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, that's a problem. You know, I like it.
You know, it's just got to be structured so that everyone's got to fit in so you can get people to come. I just think there's got to be a better way.
Did you get an invite?
Christmas party. I don't know. It's just an invitation to do something horrendous while you're under the influence, get yourself sacked, lose your promotion, alienate all your workmates.
Did you get an invite? Did you get an invite to the Christmas party? Because I didn't. Did you get one?
I'm assuming I did.
So you didn't. You didn't get one.
Well, I may have.
I think it's been rescinded after that. So, dire trial.
Well, maybe we can just do something together.
I reckon if you ask the bosses, they go, "Well, we've got to put it on, haven't we?" You know.
Yeah.
I think that's the underlying attitude.
It's just a part of it. It's just a social norm.
Do you know what I find more inconvenience at Christmas time? The Kris Kringle, the work Kris Kringle. That to me
work.
Is a pain in the
bum. And it's just commercialisation.
Well, you're going to hate what I've got planned for the last show. I'll let you know what that is next week. Desert Legends on Sydney's Triple M.